or thearts.org.
Quinn Martin production. Starring Roy Thinnes as architect David Vincent.
The invaders. Alien beings from a dying planet. Their destination, the Earth. Their purpose, to make it their world. David Vincent has seen them. For him, it began one lost night on a lonely country road looking for a shortcut that he never found. It began with a closed, deserted diner and a man too long without sleep to continue his journey. It began with the landing of a craft from another galaxy. Now, David Vincent knows that the invaders are here. That they have taken human form. Somehow he must convince a disbelieving world that the nightmare has already begun.
Yes, it's a brand new year and an old topic. The president will speak to the nation tonight at 9 o'clock, 8 Central, 6 Pacific. This is your hero, Mark Birrell, back again for a brand new year of controversy and frivolity, because I can't think of any other way to describe this president, our president, claiming there are a horde of invaders coming to the Americas. And I don't know about you, I had 2 weeks to think about all of this stuff during the holidays, and it just gets worse. You know, God, I wish I could get a Trump supporter, somebody that still stands for separating families, particularly, I kept thinking, during the holidays. You know, how could someone sustain that belief? You know, basically, this is it in a nutshell, and I'm waiting for somebody to call me and tell me it's something different, okay? Here's what it is. Don't come to this country unless you want to take the chance of having your family separated from you. And whatever the consequences are of that, it's your fault. What a beautiful Christmas holiday cheerful message we are sending. Is that the America that made us great? Is that the attitude that made America great during the Roosevelt times? Because really, that's what we're talking about. I know for me, my great times was growing up in West Tampa. I'm a little outraged. I know. And I got a caller, by the way, that wrote to me on email personally. I don't know why she got off on a tangent, but you should see the email. I haven't even showed it to Rob yet because I got to get printed out. But this email suddenly turned on me that I'm just trying to instigate trouble. And this is not a person who supports the president either. And I'm going, what is this person talking about? You know, basically saying that the only reason I say what I say is to get you going. No, I don't. I say it because it's what I believe. And here is what I believe. This president, our president, is the most hateful, despicable despot we've ever had as president of the United States. I'm sorry. I can't find anything charitable to say about this guy. He's going to talk to us tonight, and I plan to listen. But I don't expect anything. And you know, all I could hear, you got to remember, let me give you a little quick kind of tutor you over a little bit of my history. I worked at what you would call the greatest conservative radio station in Hillsborough County, 970 WFLA, the Rush Limbaugh station. And if you think Rush Limbaugh was the only thing on that station that was right wing, every single host that I had to work with, except, of course, Daniel Ruth, who's my colleague here, I don't see Daniel, so I don't get to talk to him. I know Ted Webb runs in him here and there, but I don't talk to him, even though we're colleagues. Colleagues here, we were colleagues at the other station. I have a great deal of respect and admiration for him, and I'm real proud that we're on the same radio station. Even now, here at WMNF 88.5 FM. Community radio at its best. That's Daniel Ruth. And you can hear him here on Fridays, at this time on Fridays. No more? There's a change in that?
Yeah, Dan had to step down because he's teaching a class at USF.
The hell with this guy. What am I talking about him now?
Your pal Janelle Irwin is on the Friday show.
Oh, she's back again. Good. Janelle's also a wonderful, wonderful host. My best to Daniel in his teaching. So I'm glad to hear that. See, I'm gone 2 weeks, and even though I listen to the station, everything changes. But the point is that Daniel used to call himself a radical moderate, and which was fine with me because he's a journalist, even though he's a columnist. And he was never ashamed or inarticulate when he talked about his positions. But the rest of that radio station, and I love them all. By the way, I had a great working relationship, and they gave me the opportunity to do what I do here, over there. But forget it. When I heard, and when I remember, the kind of vitriol on that station about liars like the Clintons and anyone else who was Democrat, they were all liars. I don't hear anything like that coming from the stations here in the Tampa Bay area that support this president. They never call him a liar, and yet he is the biggest liar on record than anyone else. And if you support him, I'm sorry. Call me and tell me. What for? What is he doing for you? Let me tell you why. We won't hear from those people because they're bankers and they're people with a lot of money. Because if you're not that and you even have the time to articulate your position here, I'd like to hear it. I'm not going to berate you, but I can't. It doesn't gel. All the guys I grew up with, all of them that were middle class families, and by that I'm saying they just made the middle class. We were lower middle class people. They've forgotten where they came from. A lot of Americans have. To make this guy president. And they believed that he would help them. Now he's telling the workers that he put out in the street. Not really in the street. They're still working, but not getting paid. You think this guy has the empathy for that? And for the position of working people in this country? Shame on the people in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, and Michigan. Union places. Disgruntled workers that they started abandoning their principles and their work ethic when they started supporting people like Nixon over people like McGovern. Shame on you. Shame on all of you. Even those of you listening to me here. And whether you're on the internet, which I understand have a very high listenership on our internet. I want you to listen to President Trump talk about these people that aren't getting a paycheck. I like to hear him.
Can relate, and I'm sure that the people that are on the receiving end will make adjustments. They always do. And they'll make adjustments. People understand exactly what's going on. But many of those people that won't be receiving a paycheck, many of those people agree 100% with what I'm doing.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You think he really gives a damn about the people that aren't getting a paycheck? These are not lazy Americans. People, these are people that are better than you and I. They're going to work and not getting paid. Shame on you. Shame on you for believing this guy. Especially you righteous people. Claiming that God is on your side. When the good Lord should strike you from the face of the earth. I'm very ashamed of it. This is not what made America great. You know what made America great? We like to think of our pilgrims and the people who move westward, populating this country. Surviving tough times, helping one another. I've been off the air for 2 weeks celebrating the holidays, and this is what I come back to. Our president speaking to us tonight, how much can you believe? I'm going to let Daryl open the show. Here's the numbers, 813-239-9663. That's if you're calling anywhere. 813-239-9663. If you want to join our conversation, and again, as I've begged for enlightenment. Hello, Daryl. You there?
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Just like the guy in the Invaders, I remember I had my bout where I was looking for a lonely country road, looking for a shortcut.
That you never found.
Yeah. But, well, my interest was I need to urinate real bad. But you're talking about belief. But let me tell you something, what I believe. I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. No. But let me tell you something.
No, let me tell you something. Go ahead, Doug.
Let me tell you something.
You sound like Malenko.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Gordon Sony.
Yeah. Let me say hello to my little friend. But, yeah, I agree with the person who texted in. You're going to really see some leadership tonight. Really see, but let me add my word to it. Demented leadership. Demented. The man's mind is demented. Come on, people. Come on. National crisis at the border and terrorists are coming in. Okay, let me help you out. If I was in the State Department, if that actually was happening, why wouldn't I contact the government of Mexico to find out, you know, outside of what they're letting come across their borders, not people just walking across there. I would want to deal with the people of Mexico. I still want to build the wall. Mark, have a happy new year. It looks like we're going to, the roller coaster ride, but it's going to be corrected.
Thank you, Daryl. I appreciate you being the first caller of the year for me.
Yep.
Thank you.
Happy new year.
Happy new year to you. Let's go to Mike in Tampa. Hello, Mike.
Yeah. I'm not a Trump supporter, as you know, but I want to tell you that something I've been trying to get on to tell you for a month now. There's no one, absolutely no one, worse than Bill Clinton. He is the king of the worst presidents we ever had.
Okay. Do you think anybody doesn't understand that that's your position, Mike?
No.
Okay. So why do you think you have to call my show on a new year and tell our people, our community, the same thing over and over? I'm not taking issue with you. I disagree with what you're saying because your attitude doesn't seem to stand for anything that's really substantial. You don't hear anybody calling in and saying, you know, that guy Mike, he's right when he says what he says. And we are much better off with this president than we would be with either of the Clintons or anyone else.
Well,
go ahead. I'll let you have the last word.
We're not better off with him and anyone else, but we're better off with him and the ego of the Clintons. Being able to the lowest of the low.
Okay.
And even Obama held Social Security down so low that now it can't recover.
Okay. Well, keep voting for the people. Keep voting and supporting the people who you can't get elected. And let's see how much you get out of Social Security in the future. You're in the position you're in, Mike, because you've taken a position that's so self-righteous and it doesn't examine the minute detail of a lot of issues dealing with Social Security, Medicare. Keep going down the path you're going and see what you get out of it. Maybe it's what you want.
Well, I got a $2 increase in Social Security in the last 2 years from Obama and a $36 increase in these last 2 years.
With Trump,
yeah.
So he's better. He's a better person for you, right?
So he's better than Obama.
Okay. All right, Mike. I guess you made your point abundantly clear. Appreciate it. Okay, here is Danny. Go ahead, Danny.
It took him a while. I was waiting. It took him about a couple of years. Mike, you finally did it. You finally admitted that you like Trump. I knew it. I knew it all
over. Well, over the Clintons.
But the Clintons, you have a delusional clown. Well, you know what? It's not even worth addressing.
No, it is.
You know, Mark, I'll tell you what. You did work with Bob Lasseter and Jay Marvin, though, too.
Yes, I did. Yeah, they were the best.
Yeah, liberals on that
stage. They were the best.
Great liberals that they were.
Yes, they were.
Mark, last night, Chris Cuomo looked at the audience at the end of his show, and he looked right into the camera, and he said, people, don't let him play you for a sucker.
Yeah.
Don't let him play you for a fool again. The thing about that was a campaign gimmick. He went from concrete to steel slaves to this. It's all BS. He's boxed himself into a corner. He doesn't. He said that the last few living presidents agreed that they should have built a wall. He goes, who? What? Where? When? They've all denied it. Even Jimmy Carter has said he doesn't support it and doesn't agree with him. And then Tim O'Brien, you know who he is, right, on MSNBC?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, he's great. Trump sued him because he wrote a book about saying how Trump was not as rich as he was.
Yes.
And Tim O'Brien easily beat him.
Yeah.
He crushed him. He crushed him.
Of course he did.
Saying that they were all saying that they were saying on Lawrence O'Donnell's show that there's at least 20, maybe even more, Republicans that are going to defect.
Well, from Danny, I'll believe it when I see it.
Well,
you know,
me too.
You know, I don't believe anything. You know, right now we have a majority leader in the Senate that how that turtle is the majority leader.
Is
beyond me. But at least he gets his people to stick together.
Oh, Mark, he's what? Listen.
It doesn't help me or you.
And listen, real quickly on Cortez. You would have thought that she said the crime, she admitted to the crime of the century. When she said, how about, they should be taxed at a 70% rate?
Yes.
When, under Eisenhower, as we know, remember, it was.
Yes.
What was it? 90%.
92, I think. Anyway.
Was it? 90, was it?
Doesn't matter. 90%.
Okay, it was higher.
It was higher.
And we never had so much revenue as back then, Mark.
Of course.
To think there, and she says, and then Anderson Cooper asked her, well, where are you going to find the money for this? Where are you going to find the money for this? She goes, where are we going to find the money? We'll find the money like we find the money for the military increase every year. We'll find the money like we find for the rich people every year. All the, what do you mean we can't find? And she says, and then finally he asked her, are you talking about Venezuela? And she says, of course not. She's like, how about Sweden, Norway, Denmark? You know, like I said, they will try.
How about America in the 30s?
The big socialist boogeyman. It is so ridiculous, Mark. It really is ridiculous.
Well, she spoke about FDR and the New Deal.
Yeah, that's right. So. She sure did. She should. And then she says, you know what? Yes, he says, are you a radical? He says, well, you know what? If I believe what FDR believes and what he said, then call me a radical. I'm proud to wear it.
I agree.
All right, Mark. Have a great day, man.
Yeah, I like to hear that. We have that sound. Let me get a caller first, and then we'll listen to that sound. Talk to Jeff in Lakeland. Hello, Jeff.
How you doing? I just want to say I have a job that I work in the car all day, and I listen to your show and listen to all the shows until about 2 o'clock. And then I turn it over to Rush Limbaugh, and I hear him say all the time that he wants an opposing view to call in, but I've yet to hear one, and I've been in the car for like a year now, and I heard him the other day say that the...
But his call screeners design it that way. You don't know that. Over here, when you call in, whether you agree or disagree with me, you're put into a queue, and we have the time that you spent waiting, and we get you in order. We don't exclude anyone. I could tell you, having worked at the station, I know how it works. Rush Limbaugh only gets the callers he wants, okay? And number two, when a person disagrees with him, he'll cut him off and then talk for 10 minutes about the caller off the air. I never do that. I never did.
Wow. Well, you know, over the holidays, he was saying the shutdown didn't matter because all the people were going to use their credit cards anyway because it was Christmas.
What a jerk he is. That's a jerk to say something like that.
I thought like asking him, are you going to pay the interest on their cards?
What an SOB that is. That's a very bad, I can't tell you in strong enough language what I think about a person like that. That's sickening.
It just blows your mind.
But you know what blows my mind? Not him, but the people who love him and love that opinion and respect it. Just like they said, we need a guy to run government like a business. That's a real jerk.
Yeah. Well, it looks like Fox News is even getting tired of this anti-immigration thing because Chris Wallace was hammering.
Well, Chris Wallace is a lot more of a journalist than most of the people on that station.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate the call, sir. Thank you very much. I want to hear that. All of you, hang on. Jack, you're next in Dover. Go ahead, Rob. I want to hear that.
You're talking about zero carbon emissions, no use of fossil fuels within 12 years?
That is the goal. It's ambitious. And
how is that possible? Are you talking about everybody having to drive an electric car?
It's going to require a lot of rapid change that we don't even conceive as possible right now. What is the problem with trying to push our technological capacities to the furthest extent possible?
This would require the raising taxes.
There's an element where, yeah, there people are going to have to start paying their fair share in taxes.
Do you have a specific on the tax rate?
You know, you look at our tax rates back in the 60s, and when you have a progressive tax rate system, your tax rate, you know, let's say from $0 to $75,000 may be 10% or 15%, et cetera. But once you get to like the tippy tops, on your 10 millionth dollar, sometimes you see tax rates as high as 60 or 70%. That doesn't mean all $10 million are taxed at an extremely high rate, but it means that as you climb up this ladder, you should be contributing more.
What you are talking about, just big picture, is a radical agenda compared to the way politics is done right now.
Well, I think that it only has ever been radicals that have changed this country. Abraham Lincoln made the radical decision to sign the Emancipation Proclamation. Franklin Delano Roosevelt made the radical decision to embark on establishing programs like Social Security.
Do you call yourself a radical?
Yeah, you know, if that's what radical means, call me a radical.
When people hear the word socialism, they think Soviet Union, Cuba, Venezuela. Is that what you have in mind?
Of course not. What we have in mind, and what of my and my policies most closely resemble what we see in the UK, in Norway, in Finland, in Sweden.
How are you going to pay for all of this?
No one asks how we're going to pay for this Space Force. No one asked how we paid for a $2 trillion tax cut. We only ask how we pay for it on issues of housing, healthcare, and education. How do we pay for it? With the same exact mechanisms that we pay for military increases, for the Space Force, for all of these ambitious policies.
There are Democrats, obviously, who are worried about your effect on the party. Democratic Senator Chris Coons said about left-leaning Democrats, if the next 2 years is just a race to offer increasingly unrealistic proposals, it'll be difficult for us to make a credible case we should be allowed to govern again.
What makes it unrealistic?
How to pay for it.
We pay more per capita in healthcare and education for lower outcomes than many other nations. And so for me, what's unrealistic is what we're living in right now.
God bless Congressman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York. And that was the interview by Anderson Cooper on 60 Minutes. And you heard it referred to by Danny and others. God bless her. God bless her. She's exactly right. I can't be more adamant about it than that. Hello, Jack, in Dover.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for the opportunity to debate with you on a couple of key points.
Okay.
The first thing I'd like to say is, as with previous calls, I'd like to this time formally say that I'm taking Donald Trump's name out of the conversation by saying that I support the office of the presidency, and the things that I support are the same things that the people who voted for him stand behind him on. One is the border wall. It's not, I don't think it was entirely Donald Trump's idea, so I'm saying that it was the responsibility of the office of the presidency to follow through with what the voters who voted for him wanted.
But he doesn't have the votes from people that have aligned themselves with that issue in his own party. When he was president this previous 2 years, why didn't he push for that?
Well, I think that a lot of the issues that are swaying some of the people that are in his party are public opinion. I mean, they want to be reelected themselves. So when you when you grandize on a gray area, what I would refer to as a gray area, which is separating the children from their parents, my first question to you would be, if I robbed a bank and I had children and I was incarcerated, do you feel that my children should be incarcerated with me?
Of course not.
Okay. Well,
is that the choice these people had that came over the border and they came over legally? The people that were separated were filing for status in this country. They were separated. Jack, you can't tell me you support that.
I can in so far.
Did you like Lieutenant Gerard in The Fugitive?
I'm not gonna make a comment on.
Why not?
The movie.
Why not? Or TV show, but literary classics like Les Miserables. The law is law. Mutiny on the Bounty. That's a real incident. The law is the law.
But I'm not an expert in movie trivia.
Well, that's probably why you believe what you believe. Because you're not an expert. You don't have to be an expert. But if that's what you believe, that the law is the law, then you can do anything you want to these people.
Well, I'm saying, yeah, there are ridiculous laws on the books, but I don't think that having children, if a parent is going to be deported, yeah, then I believe their children should be reunited with them. But I think the bigger problem...
Do you think he's honoring that? You think this president and this administration is honoring what you just said?
I think that they were inundated with the fact, just like other countries are inundated with the fact that there are these thousands, these small armies of refugees that nobody is prepared.
What armies?
Luckily,
what armies are you talking about? Not even the government documents support what he's saying. And by the way, what about Mexico paying for the wall?
It's been reinforced by our military. Our military has done a fantastic job. So the wall would get built.
I think American people recognize that we must keep government open, that a shutdown is not worth anything, and that you should not have a Trump shutdown. You have the White House, the Trump shutdown. You have the White House. You have the Senate. You have the House of Representatives.
You don't see the relation to anything real in that conversation, Jack?
I do, and I don't. I think that he is going to have Mexico pay for the majority of the wall. And I believe that there's a bigger reason why Mexico should want to have a wall, whether it's on the Rio Grande or whether it's further down into Mexico. And that's a key point of my debate that I want to bring to your attention, Mark. And I would like for you personally, I've asked other people at your station to look into this, but to personally either call the sheriff of Laredo, Texas, or to look at some of the stories on the internet about there's a Sacred Heart Cemetery down there, and the amount of money that his department has to spend on logging people that nobody knows who these immigrants are. Nobody knows where they came from.
Jack,
and they're dying.
On that particular issue, first of all, have you ever been to Laredo?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so have I. So have I. I worked there, so I know. Number two, the stories you're referring to have already been discounted as not being credible. Does that mean anything to you?
So you're saying that all of the border states, all of the coroner's offices that are reporting that there are people dying in the deserts of Mexico, that they have to go out, that Border Patrol has to go out and take these dead bodies in, and then they have to take them to the coroner, and they have to log and categorize them. It's all public record.
Yeah, but you're wrong. If they died in the Mexican desert, they are not documented by our people. Not in the Mexican desert. Okay? That's number one. You got that? Do you understand that?
So you're saying
you think our border patrol, you think our border patrol crosses the border, goes into Mexican deserts, and picks up these bodies and documents them.
So you're saying they're American citizens then, if they're not Mexican?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying they died in the Mexican desert, and our border people have nothing to do with that.
So they just left them in the desert then?
No, the Mexican people picked those up. Mexican border.
And they brought them into America. So they bring their dead people into our country so that we can do DNA tests and we can try to log who these people are.
Because all of that is false, Jack. All of that you just said is false. I don't know what to tell you.
The records aren't false. There are still all
documented
people.
They are as you're claiming they are. That's not real, what you just talked about.
Read the story about how much time they spent.
What story? What story?
This story on the cemetery.
Who wrote the story?
I believe probably somebody who knows the sheriff of Laredo.
You can't even name that person.
Well, I didn't memorize the entire story.
You don't have to memorize the story. All you have to do is you call me back and tell me who wrote that story. Okay? And then we'll talk about what that person's agenda or credibility is. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, that's fair, right?
Fair enough.
All right, Jack. Thank you so much. Let's talk to, you're listening, by the way, to WMNF 88.5 and your hero, Mark Biro. I'm even losing my voice on the first day back. Hello, Joe in St. Pete. Hello, Joe.
I just want to tell you, first of all, that I am twice as angry as you are, and you're angry, and I'm twice as angry. Every day I have to listen to these Trump supporters equivocate the way that last caller just did, equivocate robbing a bank with trying to find freedom and a better life.
Don't you see, Joe, that the only reason they can support what they believe, and let me put in quotes, believe, okay? There's nothing that supports what they contend, okay? So they have to believe it, and they don't have to be involved in reading and searching and documenting in the way they do. They could just make it up as they go along.
And this is what they do, and they pick out things that are going to ramp people up, like, an undocumented immigrant killed a police officer. And they bring things like that out, because I watch MSNBC. I do watch it a lot, I must admit.
Yes.
It's a good program.
I look at it, too.
They have everybody, all opinions on, just the same way you do.
Yes.
But why are you talking about one police officer killed by an immigrant and bring that out as a reason for building a wall when you can't even have gun control after somebody walks into a school and kills 17 kids or somebody kills 50 people in a nightclub and they're all American?
Yeah, I know.
And you can't, why aren't you talking about that? You're talking about one police officer and this is your reason to equivocate building a wall, or you're talking about somebody robbing a bank shouldn't be separated from his kids. They make no sense.
Let me tell you why, Joe. I'm going to tell you why. Because they don't really care. They don't care. If they really cared, they would find out what the truth is and get as close to it as possible.
Well, that's why they like Trump, because they do not care about
They
him.
Don't care. They don't care. I'm sorry to say that. Joe, thank you. Thank you so much. Nice to hear from you. Let's talk to Marcy in Largo. Hello, Marcy.
Hey, first-time caller. I feel your frustrations. I'm married to a Trump lover.
How do you do it?
It is so frustrating for me. I have to keep telling myself, who's dumber, the person trying to talk to the doorknob or the doorknob?
But, I mean, I know you love this person.
I do.
And this person...
I love him. But this has shown me a side of him that I don't like.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I go, like, I'll be sitting there watching. He goes, why are you watching fake news? I'll be watching CNN. I go through a bunch of channels. I watch Sky. I watch everything. And I go, sit here and tell me what they're saying is not true. Just sit here and watch. He will not. He only watches Fox News. And he's, I mean, there are things I just don't understand. So frustrating. Like, we were talking about Mueller, and I said, well, you know, Mueller is a Republican. He goes, no, he's not. I said, yes, he is.
Well, Marcy, let me ask you this. When you tell him that, mm-hmm. and he says, no, he isn't, and you tell him, show me where he isn't, and I'll show you where he is. You provide him with something, and before you give it to him, ask him, does it really matter to you whether he is or isn't?
Right.
And you'll find out that they just don't care.
I think they find something. This is what bothers me. This is what absolutely bothers me the most. Is there something, because Donald Trump, you know, I'm from upstate New York, so I knew about Donald Trump long ago. And anybody who's not willfully ignorant can figure it out. You know, this guy is a con artist. This guy is not a good guy. He's not a good businessman. He is good for himself only.
I don't know. I don't consider myself that smart of a person. But I know a con person when I see it, and I have always known he's a con guy.
I told Jimmy, I go, he didn't even take his own state that he's lived in his whole freaking life. Does that not tell you something?
Well,
he lies. That was the biggest thing he said about Hillary Clinton. She's a liar. She's
yeah,
a liar. I go,
that's well, what's great about this.
About Donald Trump, he lies something like 9 times or even more than that.
I know. I know.
How do you justify that?
You ought to see the guys I grew up with.
He says to me, he goes, well, I think he's fulfilling his promises. I go, what were his promises? And this might upset some people, but I'm going to say it, because he goes, well, the tax plan, I'll get into that. But he said, he goes, well, he moved the embassy to Israel. I go, and how does that put bread and butter on your plate?
Yeah, that's incredible. And did they ever care about that before? Right. Of course they didn't.
And he's talking about the tax plan. I go, Jimmy, you are working schlemp. If you were to lose your job, we're probably maybe 3 paychecks away from disaster.
What do your friends tell you about Jimmy?
My family, I mean, rest my mom's soul, she would just go, I don't know how you married him. Here's what he said, and this is verbatim. I have two. He's from the South. He said to my brother, went to Syracuse. My brother's head of the EPA, first response team, very well educated, right?
Yeah.
Still very well educated, very quick witted. And Jimmy says out loud, he says, well, you know, the South would have won the Civil War if the North just gave up.
Oh,
and my brother looks over at me and I'm like, oh, God. And Jeff goes, well, Jimmy, I don't know what to tell you. And he goes, well, Lee's the best general. He said all this. And my brother goes, I don't know what to tell you, but he was on the wrong side of the surrender table. because my brother's very quick-witted. But we got in this huge, it was a huge, huge fight, Mark. He told me.
Sad.
And thinks I'm Pat. I'm sorry, Pat. He thinks I'm dumb. He goes, well, you know that Hitler was a socialist. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, God, a fascist, but a socialist? Listen.
Like, how do you deal with someone like that?
I'm ready to wonder how to deal with you.
My family just goes, we don't talk politics because it's embarrassing.
It is very. Well, Marcy, good luck to you and Jimmy. God bless you, and, you know, he keeps you, okay?
All right. Thank you so much, Pat.
Thank you. Let's talk to a guy who's been hanging on, Kevin in Bradenton. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Mark. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you, sir. Again.
Hey, I'm going to try to cover a bunch of stuff because Jack had my head spinning there for a while. But
well, that's why I left him on for 6 minutes.
Oh, it was really enlightening, you know. And the one thing that you mentioned a while back about the people that elected Trump that were from the evangelical or the...
Oh, God.
You know, the Christians. I got a new word I just came up with. Sino, Christians in name only.
Yeah, I know.
Thought of that. But anyway, you know, that's not something I really want to dwell on. I think that's so obvious. But, you know, these people that are asylum seekers, and, you know, they're really not criminals. That one issue, I think, is kind of overlooked by some of the Trump supporters that there's really nothing illegal about attempting to seek asylum. But, you know, he's basically building this whole thing up on such a wall of lies. And, you know, just trying to use this tactic of his, which really does seem to work, the politics of hate. And then to go ahead and say that we have a humanitarian crisis that needs to be declared a national emergency while you got, you know, a real crisis of people killing themselves with too many opiates. And before the Trumpsters say that's because of the border, they're wrong, okay?
Of course they are.
The drugs are coming in by plane, by car. They're not being carried by people with, you know.
I always like when our president says, and you know it. If you read about it, you'll know it. And you wonder, what has this guy read?
You know, and back to what we were talking about, you were saying with Ocasio-Cortez, which certainly I'm on board with. But here's the other thing that I wish she and a few other people would mention. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Wall Street has enough money?
What do you think their answer would be?
Of course they're going to say no, but an average person, we know how much money these hedge fund managers make. It's unbelievable, right? So there has been I don't know if it was Bernie or Ralph Nader, but somebody a while back said that a simple one penny, a 1 cent transactional tax on stock sales could cure all of our problems.
I could see Nader saying it and Sanders.
Yeah,
I could hear.
But what's wrong with that idea? I mean, do people think that these people that are selling and buying thousands and millions of shares of stock are going to miss that penny?
Well, Kevin, the only thing that I could tell you is this. In the movie Wall Street, Michael Douglas played Gordon Gekko.
Oh, yeah, right.
And he said when he played Gordon Gekko, he put his all into it. And he was stunned when he walked through New York and these people all told him that being a Wall Streeter was something he did to help them get into that line of business.
Oh,
that kind of greed. And he was ashamed. He said, man, I didn't know I did that good of a job, propaganda, that it convinced people to get into that line of work, the greed.
Wow.
Greed is good.
You know, yeah, and I think that the real reason, when everybody kind of wonders why these people support Trump, no matter how many lies he tells.
Because they don't care. They don't care.
You know what they care about? They want to be like Trump.
That's exactly right. I agree with you, Kevin. I really do. I appreciate the call. Let's talk to Rob and Tanona Sassa. Go ahead, Rob.
All right. Well, you know, the thing is, Trump lies all the time, and that's true. You know, but that does not detract from the fact that I think countries have a legitimate right to regulate their borders. Now, the fact that the United States has a largely porous border, whether it's the massive coastlines we have or the Rio Grande or whatever.
But Rob, I understand your point. I think it's clear. But here's the thing. Why didn't Trump do this when he got elected? He had a Republican Congress. He had a Republican Senate. He had a Republican presidency. And he had a conservative court. Why didn't he do it? Why wasn't he able to do it?
Well, because I think that too many people saw the moderate conservatives that there's a lot of flack over it, I suppose. I don't think he really pressed it that much until lately, but he was going for the Obamacare thing down the road. But, I mean,
And he didn't replace it with anything after he told us he would, right? How can you stand for that? That's another lie.
Well, here's one thing I want to say about the wall real quick. That is, you know, if it's, and I agree with it, it is problematic whether it would be effective. I mean, it's one thing if you're Israel and you have areas where you can defend it, then that wall actually has been effective because prior to their wall, there were attacks on buses and cafes and all this all the time, and that's largely stopped now because they've been able to regulate.
But we don't have that here, do we?
You're right.
We don't have that here. Why do you think Trump, did you ever hear of Joseph McCarthy?
Of course.
Did you ever hear of his right-hand man, the guy that Trump admired, the attorney Roy Cohn?
Yeah, I got a book about him.
You do? What is it called? Citizen Cohn?
I believe that's it. Yeah, I've got it on a budget. But yeah, I mean,
McCarthy, what's the problem?
But McCarthy wasn't completely wrong. There actually were.
Oh, please, please, Rob, don't insult everybody's intelligence. What are you reading? Ann Coulter now? Is that what you're doing? Please.
Well, here's the one thing. If you let him build the wall and it doesn't work, it's going to be a white elephant. It'll make it look worse. Throw $4 or $5 billion on it. It's still going to be porous. You're going to have this big white elephant out in the desert.
Then what's he pushing it for? What's he pushing it for? Because he promised. He promised. But that was a lie.
If he builds it, they will come and vote for him again.
Yeah, okay. You go ahead and vote for him, Rob. You vote for him.
I wouldn't vote for him.
Why not? You're making his case. Well, all right, brother, I appreciate it. I know you say you won't, but I wonder about it. You're listening to WMNF 88.5, your hero, Mark Bureau, in the closing moments of our program. Hello, Melissa Clearwater.
Hello.
Well,
I say that I appreciate everything you're saying, and I agree with you, and I enjoy your passion.
I'm going to go shave myself.
I wanted to bring it back to when you had the clip of Ocasio-Cortez talking to Anderson Cooper, and I really just want to point out that I'm glad that you finally made the fact about how people always make this BS comment, how there's no money for Medicare for all, there's no money we can put to school, and blah, blah, blah. How are you going to pay for that? I appreciate that she finally just pushed it and said, you know, what about the military, about the all money we shove over there, and all the money we shove into, like, the tax plans and all that stuff for the rich. It's like, I appreciate that she said that and made that comment, and I think that our only saving grace from this Trump disaster is Bernie Sanders' 2020 run. I feel like he will be the one to take that down, and I think one of the only politicians that can really put up a real fight for him, because he has the progressives on his side, he has me on his side, he has a ton of people on his side that I believe will truly take down this Trump disaster.
I hate to use a campaign slogan, but in your heart, you know he's right. Okay, thank you, Melissa. I appreciate it. Man, we got people on here. That one guy dropped off already. Ron and Mango, go ahead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Bureau, my superpower peer hero.
How you doing, Ronnie?
I'm hanging in here with this foolishness. I'm glad it ain't all the way around my neck. I got my two hands on it, but we got the bully sensation, the bully mentality running, you know.
Yes, we do.
Guys that'll jump on you and do my dirty work for you.
Yes.
And you listen to my dirty work guys because they're reinforcing some nonsensical stuff they be stating, as most bullies do. But we never made it out of 2018, Mark. They shut the government down.
Yeah, it's really something, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm confused. Where are we supposed to be in 2019?
They want us to work for nothing. No, that's what they're telling us.
No, that ain't even the kicker. We have just went through how many states having natural disasters that terrorize our country. Now you talk about a damn wall. What the hell?
I thought he was a deal maker.
Yeah, the deal is gone because he got another deal going on.
Let's make a deal. Thank you, Ronnie. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you more, Mark.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Listen, Ronnie is one of the great callers. My thanks to Jan Simpson, who has patiently done the phone producing of this program. What an excellent job. Rob Lori, on the other hand, is a producer of this program. He found all the drops I needed, including the invaders. Supernola will be in here on Wednesday if he hasn't quit either, teaching somewhere. He's a great guest on Wednesday, the host of Midpoint on Wednesday. And John Gilmore, one of my favorite guys. He's coming right up, right after top of the hour news, executive session. Wow, what a day. This is your hero, Mark Bureau, as always, with you on WMNF 88.5. The community radio station at its best. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I cannot stay another day.
You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa.